apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His word. You may be seated this morning. So we're in our series that we're calling Movement. And as we all realize, the culture around us is changing. It's moving. The famous Bob Dylan song, "The Times Are A-Changin'." It's very true. Just even in the last 3 decades, we have seen in this country a movement away from church, a movement away from God, a movement away from Christianity. And the reality is for us this morning is, how are we to respond to that? How are we to react to the culture around us? And so many churches, what they're doing is isolating themselves off from the culture. In other words, the more secular the culture becomes, the more isolated many congregations are becoming. And I'm telling you this morning, we cannot be that kind of church. We've got to go off of this campus and affect and impact society for the glory of God. We got to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We've got to be a Christianity and a Christian gospel movement that gets off of this campus and reaches out to outsiders. And so what we're doing in this series in the book of Acts is we are casting vision for how we're going to do that. We're simply looking at together how the church is designed to impact the society. In other words, this is God's will for us. We can do this. And just because the society around us grows darker and darker does not mean that we have to retreat. That God has a plan for Kirby Woods Baptist Church. And that mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And what we're looking at is how we're going to do it as a church. And what we're going to see this morning from Acts chapter 2 is that gospel movement begins in the church. Folks, we'll never make an impact on Memphis. We'll never eternally change lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ if the gospel is not first at work in our lives. If we're not being a transformed people by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will never successfully and effectively take the gospel out. And so it begins in the church, in our lives. And the church itself is designed to be a growing gospel movement where the gospel is actively transforming both those inside and those outside the church. In other words, the church is designed to be, to act this way, to exist this way, to work this way. And so how can we here at Kirby Woods be a gospel movement? How can we be used by God to change this city? And I'm telling you this morning, folks, it begins with us. It begins with us. And it begins with us having a radical devotion in the church. We have to be a people that are seriously devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins in here with us. Now look in your Bibles, look in the text, look at verse 41. And what we are told here, we are told that the church began with so many baptisms. In fact, we are told that 3,000 were added into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3,000 souls. And of course, this is Pentecost. This is the Apostle Peter preaching the Word of God. This is the movement of the Spirit of God. It is the beginnings, the birth of the church. And it all begins with a great evangelistic moment of people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they show their devotion to Jesus by being baptized. And baptism itself is the outward sign of an inner transformation. Baptism is us saying to the world, we're leaving behind our old life, that we have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus has transformed and saved us. And it begins with us as a church being a regenerate church, being a church filled with disciples of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you this morning, I love you enough to tell you, I frankly don't care how long you've been a member here. I care whether or not you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to just know about Him. We want you to know Him. We want you to have a relationship with Him. We are not a church that's going to be about religion and an outward facade. We want the reality of an inner transformation of the Holy Spirit in your lives. We want you to be converted. We want you to be saved. And I would say to you this morning, if you're coming and you're a guest and you're kind of kicking the tires around here and you're not sure about Christianity, you're unsure about the gospel, I want to say to you this morning that you've come to the right place, that we are thrilled you are here. I also want to tell you this morning that for so many people, they feel like they've got to clean their lives up, that they've got to line some things up in their life before they can come to Jesus. And I'm telling you that if you're waiting on that moment to happen, it'll never happen. You first must believe in Jesus Christ, and then He will transform your life. Then your life will look different. Then there will be radical gospel devotion in your life. But if you just keep trying to clean yourself up on the outside, it's not going to work. And so you've got to be a radically devoted disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ. And then notice what Luke does in verse 42. He then gives us a picture of the church. And he says, and they were, that is the church, continually devoted. They were continually devoted. They were devoting themselves. This was an ongoing process in their lives. They were serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for all of us, there has to be a radical commitment to follow Jesus. There has to be a decision in your life where you say, I'm going to follow Him. My life belongs to Him. I am His and He is mine, and I'm going to be faithful and devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning, the way you show your devotion to Jesus Christ is by being devoted to what Jesus loves. And Jesus loves His church. He loves His church, folks. And I know it's summertime, and I know what happens in the life cycles of life where it's almost like in summer we kind of let up a little bit. And I'm telling you, that's not God's will for our lives. He wants us to be a devoted church, even in the summertime. He wants us to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what they were committed to. Look at verse 42 again. And they continually were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of God's Word, to the Word of God, which of course, first and foremost in that time, in the first century, was coming from the mouths of the apostles themselves. And notice here that it is the first thing mentioned that the church does. And the reason that it is mentioned first is because it is a first priority. It is the first thing mentioned because it is the first thing the church is to do. And that is to devote ourselves together to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. And our mission, Kirby Wood's mission of making disciples of Jesus, is greatly dependent upon, it begins with the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It begins with the inspired Word of God. It begins with being a church that is faithful when it comes to the Scriptures and serious about preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God and living the Word of God out in our lives. And when we do that, we'll be a church that believes what we're supposed to believe. That's called, by the way, orthodoxy. And not only that, we'll be a church that knows how to live out what we believe. That's called orthopraxy. And I'm telling you this morning, we've got to be able to do both. We cannot just know the truth. We cannot just be hearers of the Word. We have to be doers also. We got to know how to live Christianity out, to live the Word of God out. And that's where the church started. And everything the church did when it met, it started with the Word. And then from the Word, we're told in verse 42 again, there was fellowship. And they were continually devoting themselves to the fellowship. And this word fellowship is not a word, for fried chicken and sweet tea, okay? This word fellowship, koinonia, means to share in common. And it is really not about our commonalities because we're from the same area or we kind of grew up in the same culture. That's not at all what the word is. What the word is that we have a fellowship and it is grown through our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is what we share in common as we encourage and edify one another from the word of God and from the truth that we share the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were committed to God's word. They were committed to fellowship within the church and the relationships with one another. They were committed to the gospel. Look at verse 42 again. And they were continually devoting themselves. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. This refers to the Lord's table. And of course, what would happen is when they would worship, they would set aside in their worship service a time to refocus on the gospel, to refocus on who Jesus is, the Son of God, what He did at the cross where He died for our sins, and who we are in light of Jesus. They were a church that was serious about keeping the gospel at the center of everything they did. But that's not all. They were continually devoted to what we're told in verse 42 is the prayers. They were a praying church. They were serious about going before God and bringing the requests to God. And I'm telling you, folks, what God wants to do with Kirby Woods Baptist Church requires you and me and all of us praying. And prayer is our open line of communication to God. It's how we go before God and we ask God to do a work. And we ask God to do, as we've in our verse been saying, far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. And I want us, and God wants us, to be a church that prays bold prayers. To be a church that prays big prayers. God wants us to be a church that, you ready for this, that prays beyond the sick list. That goes beyond just those who are sick. And prays for the mission of what God wants to do in our midst, the mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you study the prayers of the early church in the book of Acts, that dynamic church in Jerusalem that literally will lead the gospel movement to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, their prayers are always centered on their witness. In fact, every time they are praying and saying to God, God, give us the ability to speak the word with boldness. They understood the times in which they lived. They understood the first century Roman world where it could literally lead to your death. I mean, it was Jesus, just over a month earlier, had been crucified in Jerusalem. And they asked God all the while to give them a boldness within their culture, within their society, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of this is because they were radically devoted. And that's what God wants at Kirby Woods. He wants a level of devotion that outshines anything else that's going on in this city, where we are radically devoted as a church community. And that brings us to number one. Radical devotion requires the church community. It requires you to be in the church, to be active, and not just to simply be here. In fact, God's will for your life, the writer of Hebrews says it so perfectly in Hebrews 10:24. He says, and let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works. And all of this, he says, can only happen if we are not neglecting to meet together. He says, that is the habit of some. Some do not meet together. They've neglected that in their lives. They're not active within the church community. And he says what happens when we are active is that we are encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Folks, I want you to hear me this morning. We can do it without you. We don't have to have you, but we want to do it with you. Do you hear me this morning? We want everyone to come along. We want everyone to be in the church. And we love you enough, and I love you enough to tell you this morning, we don't want you just to sit on your blessed assurance, folks. We want you to be willing to serve. and willing to do and willing to help. And the truth is this morning, you need the church community. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because you'll never experience internal gospel transformation, what God wants in your life, if you try to do it on your own. You can't go and do it on your own, folks. I cannot go and do it on my own. I need you. You need me. We all need one another in the church community. And so you got to be radically devoted to what God's doing here. We need you to come along and join in. Secondly, the church will actually grow your devotion. The church grows your devotion. And I know where some of you are. In fact, I was talking to Nathan earlier this week, and he said so many of the students realize there's some areas of their lives. And I'm sitting there thinking, as Nathan is telling me this on the phone, no, this is all of us. All of us need to grow in our devotion. All of us have areas. All of us have things that are impeding our walk with Christ. And as I say this morning, many of you out there are thinking of areas of your life and you're going, you know, I really need to be more devoted in this area. Well, what's got to happen is you've got to really live within the church, because it's within the church that you grow. It's within the church that you mature. God has designed the Christian life to be lived within the church body. In fact, he says in Ephesians that if you'll do this, you will no longer be infants. You'll no longer be tossed back and forth by the waves. In other words, all the things of this world that are blowing up against you and that are troubling you and making the Christian life difficult, what he says here is, if you'll get into the church body, you'll no longer be blown around. In fact, what he says here is that you won't just follow any teaching that comes alone. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow as the church in every aspect. In fact, he says here, the church will become a mature body, and the members will grow into the head, that is Christ. You see, the church is designed to grow you in your Christian faith. It's designed to mature you. And I want you to hear me this morning. We have big plans for what God is going to do through Kirby Woods Baptist Church. But none of it works if we do not first experience gospel movement within our congregation. In other words, for Kirby Woods to lead a gospel movement in Memphis, we have to be a church who know what we believe, and not just that, we got to know how to live it out in our lives with one another as the church of Jesus Christ. So it begins with radical devotion. Secondly, when what gospel movement requires, it requires God's supernatural presence. It requires the presence of God. I shared this with you last week, and I'm going to say it throughout this series. Folks, we can do everything right and not really grow as a church. We can do everything right and not make disciples. We can cast out the mission, and that is to make disciples. We can cast vision of where we need to go and how to make disciples. We can run the right systems. But I'm telling you, if God doesn't show up, folks, it's all for naught. It will not work. God has to be at work. And that's what you see in verse 43. Look at this. And awe came upon every soul. In other words, everybody in the Jerusalem church knew that God was there, folks. They knew it. They knew God was there. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. In other words, they saw the evidence of God at work within the church. And if you know what I'm talking about this morning, there are times when you're in worship, and folks, that moment, it's intangible. It's hard to put into words, but you know it when God shows up. You know it when you feel the presence of God. You know it when all of a sudden there's a God moment within the service. When Jesus is moving powerfully, all of a sudden there is this wonder within the church. Wonder within the church. Everyone knows it. That there's something that God is doing, that God is working the supernatural. In fact, that phrase, wonders and signs, that is used of the supernatural movings of God. It is used especially in Acts of God doing the miraculous, of God doing the unnatural, of God doing the extraordinary. And what the church was seeing was God's presence showing up and extraordinary things happening, supernatural things happening within the congregation of the church. And I'm going to admit this morning, I'm going to show you my cards. You ready for this? I have an agenda. And that agenda is for God to show up in our worship services, folks. For the presence of God to be felt. Not for us to just go through the motions and sing what we always sing, because we've always been singing that. And just to simply be here and phone it in and barely even show up. We cannot be that kind of church. I'm telling you this morning that we need the supernatural confirmation of God's presence. We need to see God do a work that only God can do. And there are broken people all around us. And they are hungering to feel the presence of God, to know the presence of God. And they're going to come here because they're sick of the world. And we're not going to give them more of the world. But we've got to give them the very presence of God. Why? Because they're made for that. As Augustine said, God, you have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Is that the cry of your heart this morning? God, I desire you first and foremost. As you're getting into the car, are you mad about the traffic? Are you frustrated trying to get the kids out of the house? Or are you honing in and saying, God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want you to show up and change my life. You see, if you really get this, you know that just a moment in the presence of God can change you forever. It can change your life forever. And the trajectory of your life, and not just the trajectory of your life, but the trajectory of your family and your kids. And the kind of church we've got to be is a church where God is at work. And when you see it, you know it. And notice the supernatural was also occurring in verse 44. And all who believed were together. They were unified as a church. You see, that's how you know God was at work. You say, why is that? Because unity is so difficult. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And we're told here that the entire church was together, that everyone was on the same page, that everyone understood why they were gathering as the church. And being together is always the supernatural byproduct of living out the gospel in our relationships, understanding the gospel in our lives. And not only that, not only were they together, we're told in verse 44 and verse 45 that they were together and they had all things in common and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I mean, folks, there was the reality that they were selfless. They were sacrificing. People were selling property so that God's people would have what they needed. And God's presence gave the church an endearing fellowship and unity, which was leading people to do whatever it took to take the gospel and live the gospel out within the church. And that's what's got to happen at Kirby Woods. We cannot just see the gospel as something that saves someone and brings them into the kingdom. We have to see the gospel as an ongoing transformation in all of our lives. And we've got to be the church where the gospel movement begins in here. And if we're going to do that, we must, number one, we must pray for signs and wonders. We must pray for signs and wonders. Now, I know this may not be comfortable for everyone, but I would just simply challenge you to read the book of Acts and see how many times the church prayed for God to do the extraordinary, how they prayed for God to do the supernatural, so that everyone would know that God was at work. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 29, the church prays and prays to God, and they say this, grant to your servants, grant to your servants that we may speak the word with all boldness. And then they add this, while you, God, stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They wanted to see God do the supernatural. Why? So that they would get the credit? Not at all. They kept saying what? Do it for Jesus' sake. God, do it for your glory. God, do it for the name of yourself, that everyone would know you. And I realize this morning this may make some of us uncomfortable. And it may make some of us uncomfortable because we put God in a box. God, you can do this, but you cannot do this today. There's a story told of a little girl in Sunday school, a little six-year-old girl, and there she is with her Sunday school teacher, with the other kids, and the teacher had given the kids crayons and construction paper so they could draw. And so then the teacher was going around the room and looking at the drawings of the kids. And the teacher comes to little Susie, and little Susie's drawing away with great passion. And the teacher says to Susie, "Susie, what are you drawing?" And Susie replies, "Well, I'm drawing God." And the teacher says to little Susie, well, no one knows what God looks like. And Susie replied back to the teacher, "Well, they will when I'm finished." You see, we all have a conception about what God is like. But I want our conceptions to be from the Word of God, folks. And we should desire to be a church where the Word is boldly communicated. But all the while, we are praying for God's transcendent power to be confirmed. We're praying for marriages to be healed. We're praying for people to be supernaturally healed of the diseases they face. Where we are praying for God to fix broken lives and addictions through the gospel. Number two, if we're going to be this kind of church, you have to discover your life's calling. You have to discover your life's calling. You see, we got to be the kind of church where everyone is a minister. Everyone is administering the Word of God into the lives of others. In fact, in the passage, you'll notice that the people are serving one another. They're taking care of the needs of one another. And we've got to be that kind of church. And I want you to understand this morning, you did not call a pastor to do the ministry. You called a pastor to equip you to do the work of ministry. Do you hear me? In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that Jesus gave to the church, He gave to the church pastors and teachers, and what they are to do is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. How much more powerful are we as a church if everyone is a minister, if everyone is doing ministry? If everyone understands that God has enabled them to do something that they can do. You know what he says? Paul says here in Ephesians, he says, in every way the church grows. And the church grows up into Jesus. And then he says, every part, every joint understands that it has been equipped. And when the church, he says, in verses 15 and 16, is working properly, lives are transformed. There is the movement of God within the church. And I want you to understand that you have a unique calling of God on your life. That when you use it, lives will be eternally transformed. And if you will serve in the body of Christ and be willing to do whatever it takes in the body of Christ, you can be a part of God's presence unifying us and supernaturally working within the church. God has a calling for you. And I'm asking you this morning, do you know what that calling is? 86% of Christians have no clue what their spiritual gift is, much less how to use it within the church. And I'm telling you, we're going to change that. We're going to work systems that equip all of us to know our calling and to use our gifts within the church. And so we have to be a church that has the presence of God. Also, what gospel movement brings? Gospel movement brings increasing gospel growth. It brings an increasing gospel growth into the church. In fact, look at what the church is doing in verse 46. We are told that day by day that the church was what? They were attending the temple together. And so at this point, Christianity is still very much into the temple. The Christians are still going to the temple there in Jerusalem. And we're told that they are breaking bread in their homes. And so there's this corporate worship that is happening. And then there's this personal, intimate worship that is happening. But I want you to see here, the corporate worship, what? It's happening externally out in public. It's happening for everyone to see. It's out in the open. The church is not a private gathering. It is not a closed communion. It is open for everyone to see. And then we're told in verse 46 that they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and they were praising God. And I want you to see the result of this. At the end of verse 46, we're told what? They were having favor with all the people. And you know what he's saying there, right? He's saying that the world, when they looked in on the church, they had a favorable view of the church. That the society may not have agreed with what Christians believe, because they didn't, but they saw something admirable within the church that they liked. You see, the church must be a people whose Christian witness is on display for everyone to see. You see, we've got to be the kind of church that when people talk and see Kirby Woods, that they may not believe what we believe, folks, but they want what we've got. And listen, if they want what we got, some of them are going to come to believe what we believe, because what we believe is the reason we got what we got. I couldn't say that twice if you made me. Verse 47. And the Lord, watch this, added day by day those who are being saved. That's gospel movement, folks. That's the result of it. Every day they were seeing people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, savingly trust in Jesus Christ. They knew that people every day were experiencing the gospel for themselves and savingly believing in Jesus. In fact, what we know is that gospel movements cause growth. That in fact, the church, if it's doing what it should do, should grow by multitudes. In fact, the early church started out with 120 disciples in the upper room, right? It then went at Pentecost to 3,000. We know that 3,000 were baptized, so over 3,000 people. Within a few months, we're told by Luke that the church was numbered with 5,000 just men, which meant if you added the women and the children, it swelled over 25,000 people. And all of this, we're told in the book of Acts, led to greater and greater growth. Somebody said to me the other day, "Well, you really want Kirby Woods to grow?" I said, "You betcha I do. Not for number's sake, but because each person is an eternal soul. Each person needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, if we are a healthy church, you ready for this? We will be a growing church. If we are a church that is focused on the gospel, we'll be growing through making disciples of Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? Well, let me give you two things in closing. First of all, we got to live out our gospel witness. We got to live it out. We have to be willing to show the gospel in our lives. You see, outsiders will never believe what we say until they first see it powerfully transform how we live. And this is why evangelism today, just the cold form of evangelism where you walk up to someone that you do not know, so many times today is unsuccessful. And the reason is for that is because we are living in a culture that wants to actually see that if what you believe changes the way you live. And we have to be the church where the gospel is working internally and causing those externally to admire what they see. And so this is Acts 5:13, where we are actually told that the people outside the church held them in high esteem. That when people outside the church looked on the inside, they were amazed at what they saw. And then Luke says, and more than ever. See, that's a movement, a growing movement. And more than ever, multitudes of both men and women were constantly added to their number. You see, that's a gospel movement. The increasing growth of the gospel changing lives. And first what? It begins with us, the people outside the church, seeing the people inside the church and how different our lives are. And secondly, it requires us to be both faithful and fruitful. There should be a desire to be both faithful and fruitful. We should desire to see results. We should desire to see transformation. And quite frankly, as your pastor, we're going to try new things, folks. Somebody told me the other day, well, I said, what did you get from the sermon? They said, it sounds like some things are going to change. And I said, you betcha. We have got to see success. The success of seeing unbelievers believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not just going to keep doing the same thing and hoping that it'll yield better results. We're going to try some different things in order to reach people with the gospel. And this is Jesus' will for us as a church, that we not just be faithful, but we be fruitful. Listen to Jesus. This is our Lord and Savior in John 15, 16. Listen to what he says. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you. So I chose you, but not only that, I appointed you. So you're not only mine, but I've got a mission for your life. I appointed you that you should go, and as you go, that you should bear fruit. I think he's not talking about the spiritual fruit of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I think what he's talking about there is the fruit of a harvest. The fruit of your life impacting other lives for eternity. Your life, the gospel being so real to you that it becomes real to others. You see, Kirby Woods must pray and live and minister and design our programs and ministries so that we see the fruit of unbelievers experiencing gospel transformation. So that we see that men and women and boys and girls are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. And so the challenge this morning is simply this. It's the question for you to ask yourself. Am I radically devoted to experiencing God's transformation in Kirby Woods? Do I really want to see a gospel transformation? Do I really want to see lives change? And you can write right beside that, do I want to experience a gospel transformation in my life? Because folks, it begins in here. We will never be successful in reaching the people out there until we first experience gospel transformation as Jesus' church. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. For some of you here this morning, you may not be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be one of those people who are struggling, who are thinking through your own soul, your own life. And I would say to you this morning, right where you are, you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can experience gospel transformation. The Bible says that we are called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. And so right where you are this morning, I encourage you to look to Jesus, trust in Jesus, know Him as Lord and Savior. For some of you this morning, you're simply going, there are areas of my life where I need that kind of gospel transformation, where I need Jesus to change me. And so this morning, cry out to Him. He can change your life. He can transform your life. He can give you new life. Father, in this place this morning, move in a mighty way. Move in a powerful way. And Father, may we not look at others and say they need the transformation. May we not even just look at our church and say we need transformation. May we each look in our own hearts and lives and say, Lord, do that transformation in my life. Transform me. Bring the gospel into my life. Lord, make it a point in my life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple, that I might be effective in making disciples. Father, move in this time of commitment, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.